This is the Ethanol Report.
I'm here in the office of the Renewable Fuels Association overlooking Washington, D.C. With me, Bob Dineen, the president and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. And Bob, as we keep saying, the hits keep coming, the attacks on the RFS keep coming, and we saw that this week, yet another bill filed to try and repeal the RFS, and we're seeing a hearing on the RFS that is, I guess, not a friendly hearing. But tell us about that. I know you're used to this. You kind of feel like a little bit of a punching bag sometimes.
No, see, I'm an Irishman, and if I wasn't in a fight, I'd have to go looking for one. And at my age, I'm just happy as can be that the fight is right there every morning when I get out of bed. Look, it is just another day. And we are up against an entrenched industry that is highly motivated and has more money than Midas to throw at this effort. And so, they get a senator from Louisiana to introduce yet another repeal the RFS bill. But, you know, that's just an opportunity to go out there and talk about how the RFS is actually making sense for consumers, even consumers in Louisiana. And this poor senator actually had the misfortune of saying that the RFS was damaging the shrimp industry in Louisiana. Come on, that's just liquid gold, right? Because if you're talking about damaging the Gulf and you're ignoring the BP spill, I want to tell Senator Cassidy, let's go for a boat ride and we'll see, you know, what's having more of an impact, ethanol, a renewable, clean-burning fuel, or more oil that is devastating his part of the world? In Louisiana, to say that it's the RFS that's hurting your shrimp industry and ignoring the 50 million gallons of BP spilled, I don't know.
Well, we had a call last week about RINs and about the relationship of RINs to gas prices, and a memo that was released with EPA as part of their proposal that kind of proves what you've been saying all along. Tell us about that.
Well, we have been saying for a long time that a rising RIN price is not a sign of a program that's broken. It's a sign of a program that's working, because it's a high RIN price that is going to drive investments in infrastructure, drive investment in new technology that will get us advanced biofuels. But EPA heretofore has not agreed. And in fact, one of the justifications for lowering the RFS was RIN prices are going to drive gasoline prices, and that can't happen. Well, buried in the docket at EPA in the thousands and thousands of pages that are already there was a memo from EPA staff saying, oh, RIN prices don't impact gasoline prices. It's just a transfer cost. And if one oil company sells a RIN to another oil company, the consumer is insulated by the marketplace. No kidding. But here, the messenger is really important. And it's EPA saying this. So I really hope EPA will read their own internal memos and finally understand, oh, maybe we can let the program work. Maybe RINs are the market-driving mechanism that Congress wanted it to be, and maybe consumers aren't going to be hurt.
Well, as API held a press conference call this week also, and kind of the same old, but respond to some of the charges that they made on their call.
Well, it was a dog bites man press conference. Nothing we haven't heard before, nothing that you would not expect. Once again, they rolled out the notion that somehow E0 demand is increasing, that there's this groundswell of consumer demand for more gasoline that's not blended with any ethanol, and that's just patently untrue. Their analysis includes gasoline that has not been blended with anything because it's being exported. If you zero out the gasoline exports that are included in their analysis, what do you find? Oh, that the demand for E10 continues to rise. And that is actually backed up by the fact that we blended more ethanol last year than ever before. But, API finds a nugget someplace and they abuse it and misrepresent it and try to use it to defend their now baseless argument. But some of the other arguments that we heard on the call, the chain restaurants, said that the RFS is hurting chainsaws and chain restaurants. Well, that's really cute, but chain restaurants probably aren't your expert source for information about ethanol's impact on a chainsaw. And in fact, if they looked, they would find that every single small engine, including every single chainsaw sold in America today, fully warranties the use of 10% ethanol blends. And the chain restaurants saying that somehow the RFS has impacted them ought to take a look at the price of corn today, because it is less than the price of corn was when the RFS was first passed. Now, they were screeching like angry birds when the price of corn was rising and blaming the RFS for that rising corn price and for their exponential increases in the price of food. But somehow they've missed the fact that corn prices have fallen, because I go to a fast food restaurant today and the prices haven't changed. They haven't come down. They only go one way, apparently. So the notion that the RFS has hurt chain restaurants is as flawed as a notion that it is hurting chainsaws.
Well, the big event next week in Kansas City is a hearing on the EPA's proposal for the RVOs. What do you expect out of that hearing? It's going to be held in the Midwest, whereas a hearing, you know, on the first proposal was in D.C. area. What do you expect in the Midwest?
Well, first of all, I want to give EPA some props here, because I think having the hearing in the Midwest shows either a degree of courage or foolishness that the agency seldom shows. They like very controlled things. The hearing inside the Beltway in Arlington, Virginia, the last time they proposed a reduction in the RFS, became a marathon hearing with more than 120 speakers, most of them against what EPA was trying to do. And they sat there from 8:30 in the morning till 10:30 at night listening to Joe Public rail against their proposal. But they did so professionally, and it was an educational experience for them, because ultimately they did not finalize that flawed rule. So this time they're going out to Kansas City. They've already indicated that they were surprised by the number of people that have asked to testify. It is more than twice the number that testified at the Virginia hearing. And I want chaos. I want farmers that care about what this proposal would mean for their bottom line. I want consumers that care about the fact that gasoline prices will increase if this proposal is finalized. I want ethanol producers there. I want biodiesel producers there. I want anybody that cares about our nation's energy, economic, or environmental future to show up in Kansas City and throw a hissy fit, because as dedicated as these bureaucrats working for EPA are, they don't get it yet. They don't understand that they have ripped the heart out of a program, that they are trying to manipulate the RIN market, and they are trying to reinvent a program that, quite frankly, Congress wrote very well. So I want to have rage. I want to have chaos. I want to have people shouting from the rooftops that now is not the time to be rolling back a program that is delivering every promise.
Regarding the RVOs, prior to 2014, you were okay with what EPA was doing as far as volume obligations, right?
Yeah, because they were exercising their authority legally. They were reducing the advanced biofuel requirements. They were reducing the cellulosic volumes because there was clearly going to be not enough supply to justify the statutory limits. What they did in 2013 originally in proposing the 2014 RVOs, and what they have just done again in reproposing 2014 and then proposing 2015 and 2016 RVOs, is reduce the overall limit such that corn ethanol would be reduced, in spite of the fact that there is no supply problem. We have plenty of corn ethanol supply. They are imposing their own view that supply equals demand, and creating out of whole cloth an infrastructure waiver that does not exist. Now, I got into politics because I flunked my economics 101 class. But even before I failed, I did understand the difference between supply and demand. I got that fundamental principle. And somehow, EPA does not, because they are imposing infrastructure and demand in an exclusively supply-driven waiver. They can't do that. And that's what we object to, because that ultimately turns this program over to ExxonMobil. So tell us, Exxon, how much infrastructure do you want to allow to so that E15 or E85 can be sold? Oh, you don't want to do any? Oh, okay, then just forget about it. It was just a suggestion from Congress. No! Congress put very specific targets in place because they wanted to drive oil companies to do that which they would otherwise not do on their own.
What would be what the number that you would like to see for the RVOs?
I want them to impose the statute and let the marketplace drive the investments in infrastructure that will grow E15, E85, that will incent new technologies. I mean, that's what this is about. All they need to do is implement the statute.
Getting back to the hearing, as you said, you've got probably twice as many people who've asked to testify. Are they going to be able to have everybody testify? And would you encourage people to come out even if they can't?
Yeah, absolutely. People should come out even if they can't, because EPA will see you and they will hear you. If you are there, your voice is going to be heard. EPA had said, and I believe that they are true to their word, they usually are on this point, that they will take testimony until there is nobody left to testify. And while 250 or so people thus far have already asked to testify and they'll be put on a list, there'll also be a list for walk-ins. And if you walk up and you ask to testify, I would think EPA would be hard-pressed not to listen to you. Now, it might be midnight before you actually get to the microphone. It might even be the next day. But I think it's critically important that not just EPA hears about the frustration in rural America for this proposal, but that the White House hears it. And so we got to be awfully loud in Kansas City.
Now, just to be clear, they're only going to is a very strict time limit on how long you can testify, right?
What they've suggested so far is 3 minutes. They could, take that down to two. Who knows? But however long you have, you will have long enough to say, Mr. EPA bureaucrat, this rule is bad for America. It sets us back in terms of our energy, economic, and environmental future. Don't do this.
Can people submit written testimony in person?
Absolutely. The EPA will be taking written comments right up until July 29th, I believe, is the date. Last time, they received 330,000 comments. It takes them a long time to read that many. I would hope they get at least that many, if not double that again this time, because clearly as much reading as they did last time, they didn't quite get it.
Anything else you'd like to add, Bob?
This is a critical time for the industry, because we're either going to break the blend wall and finally get beyond E10 that will incentivize new technologies, new feedstocks, other advanced biofuels, or the oil companies are going to win and make this a 10% ethanol mandate. Congress knew how to write a 10% ethanol mandate. One was introduced in 1990 by Congressman Dick Durbin. Pretty easy to write. That's not what they did. And EPA should not be allowed to take this program backwards and undermine our future economic, environmental, and energy policy.
Thank you very much, Bob Dineen, here in Washington, D.C. at the Renewable Fuels Association headquarters. I'm Cindy Zimmerman with the Ethanol Report.